Hey everybody, welcome back to the Perpetua Fitness Podcast. I'll be your host today and I am Connor Hillick. Today's guest is Sam Stewart. Sam is a 2021 CrossFit Games athlete and a well-established competitor on the international CrossFit scene. In today's episode, we cover Sam's experience at the 2021 CrossFit Games, the highs and lows as he learned from training in the USA, getting to compete at the CrossFit Games, but ultimately having it finished early with injury. We also get an insight into Sam's mindset and any advice he has for people out there, whether they're just starting CrossFit for fun or if they want to try and get into competition. You can check Sam out on Instagram at sam.stewart, and you can check us out on the usual social medias. It's Perpetua Fitness. Our website is perpetua.ie, and you can also check out our new app called Perpetua Anywhere.
All right. So, we're Sam Stewart, here we go. Welcome to the Perpetua Podcast. Sam just back from the games a couple of weeks ago.
I think it was like nearly 5 weeks. Yeah. Yeah, 5 weeks, I think.
Yeah, actually, we're in September. So Sam, you just went, you're just there for C2F with our good friend Jamie Heaton, who used to coach here in Perpetua. How was the games, first off? I know you didn't go quite as planned, but let's go with the atmosphere of that, and then we can come back and talk about how you first got there and where you started.
Yeah, so the games are really cool. I mean, it's kind of what you expect. Like, it's big, it's a big kind of spectacle, I guess, but it definitely looks bigger and better on TV because it just cuts out like all the behind the scenes. It's just like it's cut. The field looks way bigger on TV. It's not as big in person. Yeah. The rig looks much bigger on TV, all that kind of stuff. I think all the angles on the, like when you were watching the snatch event, the big lift.
Yeah.
I think it definitely looked like it was a packed house, but like if you were there in person, it wasn't really a packed house, but it was like angled.
Was that just like a COVID thing, or was that like just it was a packed?
I don't know. I don't think Americans know that COVID still exists.
we'll not go too much into detail on that one. But did you? So obviously you're kind of saying the Netflix experience, the music, everything, the up close cameras.
Yeah,
does give like a really good feel for the viewer, but. Like when you're lifting in front of that many people, have you ever really done that before on the first few events that you got?
Not like to that, probably not that level, but it's when it goes 3-2-1 beep, like you're not thinking about who's watching or I wonder what kind of camera angle they have right now. You're more focused on the task at hand, which is X amount of reps, do it as fast as possible, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And like, what's it like being around those kind of other athletes? Did you feel very much I'm right where I belong? Has it kind of lit a fire in your belly for going back, or was it pretty intimidating in a way as well?
I don't think it's intimidating. Like, I mean, again, it goes back to like Instagram. Everyone's really intimidating when you look at them online. Everyone's looks like they're lifting the biggest amount of weight, whatever it is, rowing super fast, whatever. But then you get them next to you in person. Oh, they're a lot shorter, or they're a lot smaller than I thought. I thought they were going to be huge, or you know, they have a really high pitched voice or something. I don't know.
Camera adds 10 points.
Exactly.
That's quite interesting though, because I think you know a lot of CrossFit is online. It is on Instagram. It's on YouTube. It's on Netflix. And whilst you know they are super, or yourself included, like superhuman in a way, as they like to say, they are very much normal.
Oh, and, absolutely,
a lot more normal than we probably realize.
Yeah, when you're sitting on a bus full of these guys, you know, they're all everyone. You know, when someone's nervous on a bus and they start shaking their leg up and down, like even the fittest in the world do that. You know,
yeah,
everyone's got like you look over. Okay, that person's knee is like everyone has a knee. Everyone has a wrist. You know, no one's like superhuman. It's flesh. It's blood. You know, everyone's no one's there is like a bionic person, really.
Yeah. And which is like a good way to put it though, because I think you put them on pedestals and you can't really comprehend it. But you know, any athlete in any sport at a high level, you realize they just worked hard as much as anybody else in a way.
For sure. That's it though.
So bringing all that back, I think this story is probably quite a few times, but you got started in CrossFit at a very young age through your PE teacher, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And like not many people do that. So just for anybody on the Perpetua podcast, because you know, people get into CrossFit at every age, whether it's 50, 60, 13, 21, you know, a lot of desk athletes and people just getting into it for fitness. But for you, as I say, it was like a very young age, around 13 or so, was it?
Exactly, yeah. So we were doing it after school. It's just a kind of a thing. My PE teacher would put up a like workout of the day, like literally a piece of paper pinned on a notice board. You'd see it at 10 a.m. and then you go, okay, that's what we're doing after school or whatever. And that was kind of it. Like, it was just old school CrossFit. You know, you'd be doing like, I know everyone went nuts about wall walks this last year, but I was doing wall walks 10, 11 years ago. You know,
yeah.
it's not that big of a deal.
Literally, like, you wouldn't think that something like walking your hands backwards and walking your feet up a wall would be that difficult, considering every 3-year-old in the country probably does it quite often.
That's true. That's but, true. But there's not many 90 kilo 3-year-olds.
This is also true. And like, but, and that's where it becomes a very hard thing. And you do quickly stop it probably at the age of 5. So you don't really continue walking your feet up the wall when you get told off so much.
But, yeah. The footprints on the wall.
And like, how did that progress for you? Like, well, at which point though, were you just continue to have fun, or at which point were you like, I want to take this quite seriously?
Yeah, it was definitely fun. For a while, because we were doing after school, like at first it was all like body weight stuff, and then as obviously you get a bit older, I think we got into fourth year, I started like learning to Olympic lift, and then then it was kind of like, oh, there's a youth weightlifting championship thing, or I don't know what it was called, but like a youth weightlifting competition. It's like, let's set that as a goal and we'll learn to Olympic lift and do that kind of thing. And then it kind of swapped, oh, you can actually do this as sports, you know, it's not something you see online Rich Froning doing in America, it's actually local as well. So that was weightlifting, and then I did that a few years and I just kept building, but at the same time I was doing martial arts, so that was my main focus. But and then I think kind of when I was in like sixth year, I didn't really want to get punched in the face too much. You know, you want to when you do well and you're leaving search, you don't want to be concussed for the whole year. And then I was kind of more focused on, I guess, just like strength stuff for a while, but then I was like, okay, CrossFit's actually a legitimate possibility.
Yeah, and like, you know, obviously then coming up secondary school, and you know, people in most sports or whatever, they would kind of go, okay, if I want to be a rugby player, I'm going Leinster Academy, going into this. And you know, did you go to college and think, right, I want to take CrossFit full time? Did you get a coach? You know, or what way did you do it? Like, how did it go for you then?
Yeah, I really stumbled my way along for a while, because I went to college for about a year and a half. And then, like, I think college was maybe better at CrossFit because I didn't like college. So I'd spend most of my time training, you know, and then suddenly, obviously, you can't. The amount of time I spent training did not help me do well at any, like, college exams.
Yeah.
So that kind of almost made the decision for me, okay, now I'm training so much and I'm seeing progress that, okay, I eventually left college. And then pretty much the same month I left college, I think maybe 2 months within that kind of time frame, I qualified for regionals.
Yeah.
So it kind of gave me some instant reward in like instantly. So I was like, okay, you left college, you're going out making a bold move to try and like get good at CrossFit. But then it was kind of like, okay, you actually have done something good here now. Keep going, you know, keep going with it.
Yeah. And then obviously that progresses on, and as you say, you hit regionals and whatever. And what, at which point, and you know, I know over the past few years, does it go from regionals as the goal to the games as the goal?
Yeah, I guess.
Or were they always, I guess?
I think regionals was such a big deal for so long, and it was always like the Europe, you know, it was like the best in Europe, and it was on such a massive pedestal, you know. So it was like the goal for years, because it was around from like 2011, basically when I started, and then till 2018 when the last year regionals, when I went, and then suddenly it was gone. So then it was like, okay, I for like a few weeks I was like, what's gonna happen? Then it was like national champion, and then it was like, okay, games is a possibility.
Yeah. And to go from there then, like, what way in your training? Because I think the most, like, the biggest thing to most people that will listen into this is, like, training and mindset.
Mm.
And, you know, for you to come to the games, it's quite stressful. And I know you train with guys who are in the US, train in Think Tank. And, you know, for most people in CrossFit, it's come in for 1 hour a day, anywhere from 3 to 6 days a week, which, you know, for the general public is more than enough.
Yeah.
And, you know, if your goal is to get fit, get healthier, get stronger, that, again, it's more than enough.
Mm.
But for someone who wants to get to the games, like, that's a lot of training per day, day in, day out for a year, right? So what was your days and your weeks looking like?
Yeah, you're dead right. Like, CrossFit is, there's CrossFit, like, the get fit, get healthy, and then there's CrossFit, the high performance sport kind of side. So, like, you have to go about it differently. So in a CrossFit class, I guess you'd come across, like, in the same hour, you might do, like, a few sets of squats and then, like, a workout, or one day it could be just a workout, one day it could be just strength or whatever. But, like, you almost, when you're training for sports, you kind of have to, okay, this whole session or this 2 hours is going to be all strength-based.
Yeah.
Then in the evening, my other 2 hours is going to be all endurance or cardio. And then at some point else in the day, I have to do this like handstand walking thing, or, you know, you have to split it up a bit more and have to be really deliberate with what you're doing. Yeah. You can't just show up and go, oh, you're doing squats, yeah, I'll hop in, or, oh, what's on the board there, oh, I'll do that as well. You know, you have to kind of, it has to be kind of planned out, periodized, so that it's getting you progress. You know, if you just show up to the gym, that's what's good about CrossFit classes, it's programmed for you.
Yeah.
You know, but you kind of have to program it differently in kind of, I don't even know how to say it.
I think it's because you have so much volume to get and you have so many skills to redefine. Whereas, like,
yeah,
general public, it's get a little stronger, get a little fitter, get a little healthier.
Yeah.
And then from that, yeah, get a little bit better at some skills.
Mm.
Whereas for you, you need to, like, increase strength, skill fitness. Work, and fitness.
Yeah.
All in each day to an extent.
Pretty much.
So, like, you can't just do that in one class or in a certain amount of sessions a week. It has to be three sessions a day, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much. It's usually three.
And then, like, with that, how are you feeling that? How do you feel it? Because you know, if I ask like Jamie Heaton, he's like, yeah, pizza, bread, pizza, like a lot.
Jamie's a genetic freak. Bread. Yeah.
And if I talk to Owen McGregor, it's like, I see that guy, I eat with him as well. Like, it's a lot of chocolate involved certain times. And if it's like,
he's a big Nutella man. If
he's going to Ibiza, that's different, right? But, you know, for yourself, like, what is it for you? Because, again, it's another thing I think is so interesting to people when you are training this much. What is it that, like, how you eat and how you feel?
Yeah. So, it, like, my goal is to be like, it's performance based. I'm not trying to lose weight or I'm almost trying to gain weight by the amount you're training, you know. So I guess, like, it can't always be vegetables that you're eating. That won't sustain you through, again, three sessions a day. So a lot of carbohydrates. Carbohydrates keep you fueled for longer. They're quick to digest, so they're not sitting on your stomach when you're trying to do a workout or whatever. So in the morning, it could be a lot of oats. Currently, I'm making a big smoothie with, like, 100 grams of oats in the smoothie.
Yeah.
So it's just down it almost, and then you're off and you're ready to train.
Yeah.
A lot of rice for lunch, but, like, chicken or whatever, you know, that kind of stuff. But I'm not afraid to, like, have some ice cream on the weekend.
Yeah, like, I was hoping there was going to be something good.
I'm not, yeah.
Like,
no, just broccoli. You know, I'm not, you know, I eat ice cream pretty much every weekend.
And have you got a coach for all this, though, or has it been, or has it been, like, when you're guiding yourself throughout it? I know you work with TTT, as we've said.
Yeah.
But are you going, like, specific coach for everything, or is it a bit like, right, you'll program my training and I'm going to rest myself?
For different things, like, so for nutrition, it's more like myself. My girlfriend helps me a lot. She's really, really smart and all that stuff. And it's like especially in competition, she was giving out to me, it's like, you need to eat, because when you're nervous and, like, anxious for, like, doing well, you don't want to eat. That's the last thing you do. But the biggest thing you need is food. Like, it's metabolic conditioning. It's like taking food and using it for energy.
Yeah.
So you need to be fueled. But, like, for other things, like, I think that happened. So Max, my coach, I think he almost outsources and then sends it to me.
Yeah.
So it's not like I'm going off doing things, but I think I will be going off doing some extra, like, handstand work or swimming work with someone. Like, I was helping.
There's a little bit of swimming work needed, or we did a little bit last year, right?
But, for sure.
Like, you bring two things in there, right? And one is, well, the swimming work we can touch on, which comes in, probably get a couple of better stories, right? But the other one is nerves.
Nerves, like, yeah.
You just mentioned it like briefly about nerves and eating at competition. Do you get very nervous at competition, or how do you feel?
It's a nervous, but it's not like, oh my God, I'm going to like die, or, oh yeah. my God, I'm going to, you know, it's more like, okay, it's more like a focus, but it's like, you're nervous because you're so focused because you know what you have to do. And you're only going to be disappointed if you don't do it exactly as you know you can.
Yeah, because workouts can be pretty intimidating in CrossFit.
That's yeah, because they're going to hurt, you know.
Yeah.
No, that's maybe a misconception. Like, they look, you look at the Netflix documentaries, you go, oh, they're not even in pain. They're, I guarantee, in 5 times more pain than most people at the workout. You know, it's they have good poker faces, but it's all so, they're so task focused. Everyone's like, I'm doing the next rep. They're not thinking about, they're thinking about the task at hand. They're not thinking about how their legs feel.
Yeah.
You know, and once you swap that, if you start thinking about your legs, you're going to slow down. You're going to stop. If you think about next rep, I'm going to have to move the bar here, blah, blah, blah.
And if you find that mentality change as you've gotten higher, because if I walk into a normal CrossFit class, like, and I see a load of wall balls or a load of burpees for some people or whatever, whoever you are, you're just sitting there thinking, yeah, like, that exact thing. My quads are so sore on these wall balls. Mm. I'm really hurting. My legs are blowing up, or my shoulders are burning out. You know, as you say, it's a lot different. It's a task focus. Like, have you always had that mindset? Did it switch? Or
it definitely swapped at some point, because I remember thinking back in the day, obviously, you're like, when you first start, I think it takes a bit of time, obviously, to build up your fitness a little bit. And then if you're more confident in each of the skills, even wall balls a skill, like, you know, it's its own worst thing.
Movement across.
Fair.
Well, that and thrusters, I just hate wall.
They're pretty much the same. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, so yeah, like, and that where you're going in, you're going, yep, yeah, I'm hitting my 50 reps and then I'm going down to whatever. Or, but do you still, how do you still keep that focus on the task, or is that just practice?
Yeah, it's definitely practice, but it's like, you'll just subconsciously know, if I start thinking about my legs, it's not going to help me get better or go faster or win the workout or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I always say, like, no matter what, how much pain you are in the current moment, 10 minutes after the workout, you're going to feel the same if you smash it as hard as you can, do your best, or absolutely sandbag it and quit halfway through.
Yeah.
10 minutes later, you're going to feel the exact same physically, but then it's going to, mentally, you're gonna have guilt on your mind if you quit.
I always find that, like, you know, the workouts that you kind of, if you sandbag a workout, and like, everybody's definitely experienced it. So you're going kind of hard, it starts to hurt, and you're like, I've got two choices here, and you go with the sandbag option. You hurt a lot after it, and you feel sorry for yourself, and if anything, you just feel guilty.
Yeah,
which feels worse.
Absolutely.
Whereas like, those days where you've got, had, like, you know, whatever it is, and you feel really good and you're able to push yourself more and like kind of go beyond something, you come out of it feeling not that bad because you're proud of yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And it snowballs.
Yeah.
So if you, okay, you're like, last week I was able to do this and power through, this week I'm going to do the same. And then suddenly you're seeing more and more progress. If you're always backing away and shying away, or when the going gets tough, you curl up and cry.
Yeah,
you're gonna stay at your level. You're not gonna see,
like, it is quite hard to do that. Like,
it's very easy, like, to be said.
But. Yeah, much easier said than done. But at the same time, like, if someone actually does it and can do that, like, anybody can take that. Though, you don't have to be looking to go to the games or regionals. Like, you can just be a person in a class looking to get fitter or healthier. You could be a rugby player at a test or a running test or anything.
Yeah.
For that, probably, to take that mentality.
Absolutely. It could be even in class, like, okay, this week I'm going to try and row a bit faster on the rower.
Yeah.
And like, when it gets hard, I'm going to try and stick at it or something like that.
What I find really interesting, right, and trying to dig in deeper in it, is, so you have a lot of like athletes in normal sports, or generic sports, we'll call them, like, you know, whether they're football, Gaelic football, or swimming, or anything, where they'll have some psychologists, and they'll have different things, or they'll journal this, and they meditate this.
Yeah.
And in some ways, CrossFit for a while was very ahead, where it would really embrace doing anything and everything.
Mm.
But at the same time, as much as CrossFitters put things on YouTube, I think they also like to pretend that there's things they're not doing, or keep some secrets because you don't want anybody else learning their secrets.
Yeah.
Like for Sam, sure. Is there any like psychology, meditation, visualization, you know, extra stuff that, you know, don't necessarily see on Instagram, right?
Yeah.
Or has it just been, yeah, I enjoy the ride and I work with my coach and we chat?
I think it's, you know, it's your intent, it's your approach to everything. You know, how you do anything is how you do everything. So if you're going into your session and you're half on your phone, half on, like you could do, someone could come in and do the same workouts as me.
Yeah.
But they won't get the same benefit from the workouts as me. Yeah. They could go, they could think they went as hard as they can and they probably did, but it's, you know, you're not gaining something from it. So it's like, okay, I'm on the assault bike. I'm looking at the screen. I'm looking at every number on that screen. I'm saying I have to hold this pace. And when my body starts aching, I'm like, okay, that's almost like a meditation. I was like, okay, separate your mind from your body. My mind is now trying to stay super calm and I'm letting it be calm. And I'm almost looking at like objectively at my body going, it's sore, but it's meant to be. And you're kind of, you know, small things like that while you're mid workout, you're going, okay, you're doing chest to bar. You're like, okay, hold on for three more reps than you think you actually physically can.
Yeah.
And like it's these small thing, micro things within workouts or within training, like that add up. Like you're snatching, someone could snatch, oh, I'm going to do this. And they're just like plodding along. But I'm thinking, okay, this elbow needs to be facing this way a bit more. You know, it's, I think it just is just the attention
like,
to detail.
Like you said, it was like training with a purpose.
Yeah.
Earlier. And then, but even with that, it's like, it's those 1% that they say that add up for differences, but it's not that you're doing anything fancy like going and buying the most high-tech pillow as some people in
school
say. It's like it's 1% like fundamental stuff of changing how you think towards this. And it's like, you know, instead of stopping at 57 on the clock, you go right through to zero.
Oh yeah. Because
you get two more reps, and then that helps you get two more reps the next time. And over the year, that's X amount of more reps or better reps and stuff.
Mm, and just it carry, I think your mind is so much more important than sometimes your body. I always find like if I physically leave no stone unturned, like I did everything in training possible, I'll feel more confident. And my that confidence that you've gained is far more important than the actual six extra reps you did that day. You know, it's the physical, like, oh, I was well able for that. I can do more. You know, you're like, you carry that mental momentum
into the next
or into a competition being like, oh, when I did that last workout, I was able to do this, this, and this. Yeah. You know, physically you're the exact same, you know, for doing two less reps or whatever. It's that mental momentum, I think, that carries on into stuff.
So bringing that like mental momentum and all that mindset and like, you know, for you from 13, you're training CrossFit, you know, chest to bars, snatches, everything is going quite well. Let's go back to swimming, right? Because for the fun of it, right? Because I was talking to you the other day and it's a big goal for the next year, obviously, and sooner. And you had an experience that you were a bit like one of those Irish people on the Bondi Rescue Program, right?
Yeah.
But in all seriousness, like Dubai is where it first happened for you, right?
Yeah.
And you push through at the games and you've got a new focus, I'm sure, right? Because as again, everybody around sees people like you and they're like, they breeze through everything, but everybody in CrossFit has their weaknesses here and there.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And like, how was it for you finding swimming as that one?
Yeah. It's definitely a shit one to have because it's like, you know, if you're doing, if your thing is double unders, you know, everyone's like, oh, if I miss a double under, I'm going to get whipped.
You know,
if you're bad at swimming, you might drown.
So I there's may
that.
Not live.
Yeah, this might be the end.
This is the MMA workout that will actually kill me.
Yeah, exactly. So in that sense, it was a bit scary. Like when I went to Dubai, I kind of just went, oh, I did a few warm up laps, but it wasn't the same. I had zero technique. It was just get in and the front crawl like you think you can. And then obviously the workout starts, you're not breathing because it's the first workout of the competition. You're right next to all these big dogs and you're like doing sandbag cleans and you run into the sea. And I just like inhaled this. I think it was the saltiest water I've ever tasted.
I don't know. It could be over there actually.
Yeah, I think it's pretty salty. But bad experience. Like it was just pretty much like
doggy paddling 300 meters around this thing while everyone else is like power stroking through. So I was like, okay, well, like obviously you don't know if you're going to qualify to the CrossFit Games or not. Yeah. So I was training for the semifinals a lot more than training through the semifinals, which I just wasn't doing. So then obviously qualify and okay, now swimming's going to have to become a major priority. So I was in the pool like a few times a week. But then I messaged you and we went out to the 40 foot one time. Yeah. You had a look at what I was doing. Obviously I'm not like not good. I can get from A to B eventually, but
but it's very hard if you think about it. Like I think a really easy way to relate to it is a lot of people that do triathlons, a lot of them struggle with swimming, right?
Mm.
So they put a lot of time into swimming and it's the first event in a triathlon and you have a wetsuit and it's great and off you go.
Yeah.
It actually still sucks, right? But then you've got people who go to learn to swim and they practice swimming and it's difficult to breathe sometimes and it's hard to get your efficiency. So it takes a lot of practice, but eventually you get there.
Mm.
And the thing is, again, now in CrossFit, you add in, okay, lift a load of sandbags or do a load of burpees or do this run first or whatever. So your heart rate jacked up, you're running to the water,
yeah, and
whatever about like trying to control your breathing and swimming, you're now trying to control your breathing after exercising, before swimming, to swim and during swimming.
Yeah.
Like that is what's tough.
It is. Yeah, absolutely. It's like you can, so when you're swimming, obviously you breathe in your mouth and then breathe out into the water.
Yeah.
And it's like really rhythmic because it's like every time I come back to the side, I breathe, or some people breathe every opposite side or something. But like currently when you're just on sandbag cleans, you're not breathing by your own control. You're like out of breath. Yeah. So it's hard to then go from out of breath to a like rhythmic controlled breathing environment where you can't just breathe in whenever you want,
because a lot of like reps, again, CrossFit, sometimes you're having to tense up or whatever, you're nearly holding for a little bit, then you're kind of quickly breathing. Swimming's very much a constant flow out when your head is in the water, quick breath in when it's out of the water, and you maintain that for 2, 3, 4 whatever strokes. So
yeah, exactly, I'm usually a 2-stroke man. But the but like the swimming like came on loads. Like I was swimming in a lake maybe two, three times a week when before the games. Obviously getting in a lake in the States is a lot nicer than getting in the sea here. It was bath temperature.
And coming into September, September's actually quite nice, but once you hit November, like wouldn't be going there. Quick dip, but like that's about the
practice. Not swimming for distance.
No.
But then obviously at the games they announced a mile swim, and that was,
which is quite long.
Yeah, it was long. It's the longest I'd ever swim, but so like the first day we were there, I did a bit of technique stuff forever, and then I think I swam 400 meters. I was like, holy shit, I swam 400 meters. That's class. Then the next,
bringing that confidence momentum in again.
Exactly. And then Max was like, okay, next day we're there, and he's like, swim another lap. So it was 800 meters.
Yeah.
And then suddenly I'd swam 1200 meters. Like every once in a while I'd have to wade for a second and stop, but I kept going in open water, which is something it's never done, but it's like, it's just building on those previous experiences, you know, like, okay, I can do this. And then once you're, this is the thing I noticed with swimming, the first like maybe like 1-2 minutes is the worst. And then you're like, oh, I have nothing else to swim or think about, and I'm far away from land. So
kind of like the, you know, when you go for a run, your heart rate's jacked at first, you come in.
Yeah.
And like, this is all about you, but so I've been quite a good swimmer, so I'm nationally and internationally, but
to give
you an example on that is I did my first half Ironman and I was there going, right, breeze to swim through. And what I did was I stupidly went in the wrong group. So a lot of triathletes overestimate how good they are.
Yeah.
So I kind of dropped back because I was like, I'm not as fit as I was. I'm going to be this pace, like 130 instead of 120. And I went in this group and it was like all these triathletes who overestimated how good. Anyway, long story short, it's like we go in the water, start swimming, and there's so many people around me. And like I've lifeguarded around people, so I'm usually fine. I freaked out those first 2 minutes.
Mm.
And I remember thinking to myself, and this is like only 2 minutes in, again, I'm strong as a man. And I'm going, if I swim to the right now, there's a guy in a kayak and I can just think, pull the calf, mate. I'm out or something. Something's happened. I'm having a heart attack.
Heart attack. Yeah, yeah, like, the old heart attack.
I was actually like, I can just quit. Pull an injury. Let's go.
Yeah.
And it's all those thoughts that go through your head. And for me, who's such a good swimmer, to say that and then have people who are just learning. But again, it was like, right, Connor, you know, cop yourself on, get around this buoy and you'll be fine.
You'll be fine. You'll separate out. You're
getting in that 2 minutes and then you're fine.
Mm.
And the same can probably happen in a CrossFit workout. Now, usually the first 2 minutes are fine and the next five are the worst.
Yeah.
Like, again, it's like, you know, you change that mindset, like you for said, sure, to get through that little bit.
Mm.
And then everything's always okay.
Exactly. And then you have it in your mind. Obviously, every time you've probably swam since, you're like, well, I know the first 2 minutes are going to be the worst. So I need to power through.
Yeah.
And you kind of carry that with you forever.
And then, so let's go to the story of the games.
Yeah.
Because swimming kind of brings it naturally because we've talked about how you were when you got there. The games was such a huge achievement for you, I imagine.
Yeah.
Like, you know, big thing to go there. It's post-COVID. You're actually getting to go. You've got your visa.
Mm.
Like, tell me about that experience. We'll not get into the injury part yet. Like, just tell me about the experience of actually getting to the CrossFit Games. Because this is, I don't want to say, it's CrossFit's World Championships. It's not the Olympics. It's the World Championships, right?
We'll call
it. But it is, and it's, how does that feel? Getting, yeah, you're invited. You've got your visa. Let's go.
I definitely not the most popular answer because I'm pretty just relaxed. I'm pretty relaxed about everything. Everyone's like, oh, you must be delighted. I was like, yeah, obviously. You know, but I'm not like running laps up the stairs like Rocky or anything. You know, it's I'm just like, yeah, it's you like, know,
yeah, I hit my goal.
Yeah, I hit my goal. It's like everyone's like, wow. But I'm like, yeah, I'm not surprised. Like I didn't do this by accident.
A little bit of Conor McGregor, but yeah. Not
Nate Diaz. Oh, yeah. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but I didn't do it by accident. You know, it's, I've been working for it for I guess half my life in a weird way. I guess more focused for about 4 or 5 years. But I mean, it feels great. Like, mm-hmm. but it, just to know, okay, well, literally everything, all this stuff is, I've committed pretty hard to it. So it actually paid off, which is the coolest part, I think.
And you have to, like, we don't want to get into too much detail about this, but like, you're funding, like, I know you raised a bit with the teachers and all, but like, you know, four people out there, that is self-funded once, like,
oh, completely there. Like, yeah, and like travel
stays and everything.
Yeah, self-funded hotel. You even have to pay to enter the CrossFit Games. So when you qualify, you have to pay $250 or something. Yeah, to pay to play is the, because yeah. So I think someone calculated up over the season, it's like €20 for the open.
Yeah.
The quarterfinals cost something else again.
It was like 100 or whatever.
Yeah. Then the semifinals cost another €200, even though we didn't.
200 for semis?
I think it's all dollars. Close, yeah. And another 250. So like it adds up over the year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's weird that. I think what's cool is you look at the Rogue Invitational coming up and they're like, we're paying hotel. We're also subsidizing travel costs or whatever. And the prize money is going to be.
Is that invite only?
I think it is.
Obviously.
Yeah. I think it is.
And are you going to that?
No. I think it's top 20 from the game. So obviously.
So you get to the games. You do your training camp out there.
Yeah.
How's that?
That was like unbelievable.
Yeah. You nearly enjoyed the training camp more than the
I did games. Because obviously the games went a bit like horseways. But the training camp, so I went to Georgia, just north of Atlanta, in a place called Alpharetta, where my coach works and coaches other athletes. And there was three other guys there going to the games.
Yeah.
So there was Noah Olsen, Travis Mayer, and Alessandra Pacelli. So there was the four of us then training for the games. And it was so cool. Like the whole thing was, and Joanne McCullough from up in 80-20 was training with us as well for masters. She's a beast. She's jacked. She's bigger arms and shoulders than me. It's class.
Just been talked about a lot.
Oh, just looking at her. I meet her once and you'd be like, oh yeah, bigger shoulders than Sam.
And every one of them.
Yeah, probably. But the, so we were all training, like it was class because it was so organized and it was all based around training. Like in America, it's like, wow, you're a CrossFit athlete. That's amazing. Here it's like, would you get a real job, you know, kind of thing. So
hey, come on, mate.
CrossFit, come on, give it a rest, you know. But so like the whole day, like you'd wake up, you go straight to the gym, you'd be like almost escorted around. So like let's everyone get in the cars. We're going for like a obstacle course day. We're going for a big bike ride. We're going to the lake for swimming and paddling and all sorts. And then coming back, you're going to do this evening session or morning session, and you're training like, you know, it's a full time.
Yeah.
It's not like
a team kind of thing.
Oh, a team. Yeah, fully. And it's a big, like logistically, like there's several coaches looking after you as well. Like there's eyes on you. There's people bringing stuff. Like there's people packing up paddle boards to go to the lake and, you know, renting bikes and helmets and stuff and giving you lifts everywhere. And
yeah,
it's insane. But like it really takes a village. Like they're really committed to it there. Yeah. Here it's like, oh, I have to coach a class at 5. So I have to be done by this. I have to rush and get this bit done. But there it's like their full-time job. Like,
yeah,
they're getting paid to train.
Like for like that year round for them, or do you think just games time or 70% of the time?
I'd say like 80-70% of the time. Yeah.
Okay.
I think they all got a bit of side hustle going on. I know Travis owns the gym that we were.
Yeah.
But like he was coaching, I think 3 or 4 classes a week.
Oh wait.
Yeah, which is not.
And Noah owns a gym, right?
I don't think Noah owns a gym, but he's like
trains that one.
Yeah, he trains there. I think his dad owns a gym somewhere or something. You're saying, but the I think he's like because he's really good at his social media, like his social media
with stuff.
Yeah,
so he's obviously got his own stuff going on
too. Yeah, I think he's got his own stuff going on. He's getting like a lot of sponsors.
Yeah, it's quite hard though, like even to get that kind of sponsorship within Ireland, in any sport though. Really, outside of like rugby and stuff, like even Olympic sports, it's so hard to get that kind of sponsorship,
especially with CrossFit, because obviously there's no governing body. There's no, like, you can't contact Sport Ireland and say, look, I'm training just as much, if not more, than, you know, Olympic athletes or whatever. You know, it's different training, I guess, but and it's not like, it's so American. Like, it is really American. Like, even the word AMRAP, it's like AMRAP, you could see a bald eagle and a flag.
Wad. Imam.
It's
a very American thing.
Yeah.
And like, to be fair, like even in Ireland, you know, we still embrace CrossFit a little bit, but we all slightly move away from it.
Mm.
Like, you know, even with ourselves, like we offer CrossFit, but we offer Sweat, we offer Ride, and we're Perpetua Fitness. And you know, we are affiliated. Even, you know, yourself and Jamie, we use our Chapter 2 Fitness. Yeah.
Mm.
In America, like, they are still very much in depth in CrossFit.
Yeah, it's CrossFit or nothing for like most of the gyms there.
Like, you get your tattoo on the way in.
Yeah, your cult pass.
But like that is what's great about it, and obviously helps maintain our athletes. So building on from the training experience and, you know, everything there, what about coming into the games? Like, you know, tell us, I think it's your first kind of podcast, obviously, right, since the games?
Yeah, it is, actually.
And I know that you've mentioned it on social media, like writing it down, but tell us about the bicep. Like,
yeah,
not the artist either, like yourself, but
it's massive.
It's growing a bit again. Yeah.
So I had some show, like I had actually, it was funny, I had a really sore knee and a really sore hip going in, and I wasn't even like doing much squatting. Like, I was trying to avoid squatting. And this, my left shoulder was really bad. It was all like curving in, all stuff. It was just like a messy, like it wasn't working well, I guess. So we're in the game. So you kind of taper off. So you're kind of feeling fresh. My knee and my hip completely like gone away. Like, I was like, wow, I am ready to go. This is amazing. I smashed the swim. Like, that was like my goal was to not come last. Yeah. So I didn't come last. So that's great.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's a big plus.
Yeah. I picked a few people off on that kayak. I think I was like 30 something, early 30s anyway. But yeah, I was ecstatic not coming last, which is kind of funny for most people. But then the next workout had like 50 muscle ups, bar and ring. And then this 200 something kilo pig flip, which is like a tire, but it's shaped like a kind of soft fridge, like it's a fridge shaped thing, and it flips over.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, so I was doing the muscle ups.
Can probably like envisage putting their fridge
sideways.
Not even standing up, but lying down.
And then it was 200 kilos and you had to flip it over.
200 kg.
Plus, it was like 500, wow. Some 590 pounds, whatever that is. Okay. Or no. Yeah, somewhere around there. Over 500 pounds.
So over 200 like kilos.
But 250 or so. And
so yeah, I'm sorry, over 250.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I honestly can't remember. Oh, when freedom 2. Units 2. Go that 10, high, 2. I don't. 2. Yeah, and then so I don't know the muscle ups, but my shoulder is giving me guff, like especially after swimming, because the way I was swimming, like the reach overhead on my left, was like giving me hassle. So then you go in, you do 50 muscle ups, you also get 6 no reps or something, so you're doing extra muscle ups in theory. Then I go back to flip the pig. I flip it once, it was fine. And I flip it the second time. And I just, obviously my shoulder's out of place. So I think something was compensating. Muscles that should have been firing weren't firing. And I overused my bicep, especially after it 50 muscle-ups. And I just felt this kind of like sensation go up my arm. It wasn't like snapping or anything. It was just like this weird kind of like sensation.
Yeah.
And I felt it more in my shoulder. Where your bicep connects up at the top of your, like near your collarbone.
Yeah.
And I felt it kind of in where that connection was.
Yeah, that kind of insertion.
Yeah, exactly. So I didn't make much of it then. Obviously your adrenaline's up and then you can kind of power through. And then I did the next event, which was a run. And that, like, I was still.
You smashed that one.
Smashed the run. That was good.
Watch that.
That was fun.
So, okay. It was good.
Yeah.
Really good.
That was good. Top 10. Yeah. So I was happy with that. Then that event was pretty soon after the pig one. Like it was like, I'd say within the same hour.
Yeah.
So like I still hadn't really calmed down, like from like being out doing
pure workout. Adrenaline of the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. So then we had a few hours off. We did this flag walking ceremony thing around, which is whatever that was. And then during that I was like, my fucking arm is killing me, like, you know,
trying to hold the flag up.
I wasn't holding the flag, thank god, but because I would have been lopsided the whole time with my sore arm. But I was getting sore and sore, and then like, okay, then I kind of really had calmed down, and it was really sore. It was sore going up into my shoulder and then going into my chest as well. It all connects that way. And then the next workout had heavy thrusters. And then I just remember in the warm-up area, I couldn't get into a front rack because my whole shoulder had seized up by then. And then I couldn't clean the bar because it's too much tension on my arm off the floor. It felt like my arm was going to like it was just really sore. I don't know. I don't want to be dramatic and say it was going to rip off or anything, but
felt that way. Like your bicep attaches to your shoulder. So in a way, felt like your arm was going to rip off.
Yeah, and then my whole shoulder was already sore going in, so the mixture of it all, like my whole shoulder, I could barely get in the front rack, and then obviously heavy thrusters at 85 kilos, you know, you're not it's a bit of a hammering to the front rack. So then including the clean and the front rack, I was just like, I can't really do this workout. So I was kind of stuck out there. They call me off to the side and say, you need to like either stop or let me see the medical team. I was like, oh, I'm not stopping, because that was the last event of Wednesday. We knew we had Thursday off, and then it was Friday. So I was like, if I can get through it, I know I'm obviously going to come like dead last or ever now in this workout, but I want to have the Thursday off and do everything I can to, you know, go on Friday. So they said, okay, well, you have to be active for the whole workout. So I just kind of kept doing, like, every once in a while I'd do one, which hurt, like it was killer.
Yeah,
but I didn't want to be like disqualified there and then. No, but then it was wall walks as well, so I could kind of do wall walks, even though my shoulder was kind of out of weirdly.
A high, but okay.
Yeah, I was kind of like one arm wall walking.
Yeah, true. I guess you're not tensing the bicep as much.
My arm is locked dead straight. The shoulder felt funky, and I was definitely lopsided, but I could get through it a bit. And then, so I come back. Obviously, we're all like disappointed. They gave me ice. The medic guy checked me out. He was looking at my arms. I had to do this test. I had no resistance in my arm without pain. And he looks at my arm and thinks, okay, your arm is a funny shape. Like, that's a funny looking bicep. So he was worried it was torn or something, which I was like, it's definitely not torn, because I think I'd know.
You'd know.
And it like would be, but he's like, okay, it could be partially torn, and you haven't ticked it over the edge yet or something. So I was like, okay, well, he's like, come back Friday morning. I have to examine you before you're allowed.
Yeah.
Do the rest of the games, I guess. Okay. So on that evening, I was getting physio. I was getting special arm sleeve. I was icing. There was tape.
I was taking CBD oil, you know, everything, you know, everything under the sun, ibuprofen, whatever. And then rest Thursday, same thing all day, just kind of relax it and try and get some movement in it. That kind of thing. It was kind of just
voodoo floss,
you know, you name it. Then Friday morning comes and I go to see the guy before the event. The first workout of Friday morning has 16 rope climbs and a 90 kilo sandbag carry in it, which is like bicep central. So he says, okay, go there and try and climb the rope as part of like, let's see if you can do it. And I just like couldn't put weight in my bicep without like my hand releasing kind of out of pain. Like I couldn't climb the rope. And he was like, well, we can't let you continue if you can't do the stuff.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was obviously gut wrenching, but it's like, well, he's like, okay, two options, things will happen. Either you'll go out there and you'll be super slow. You won't be competitive. You'll be out there just for the sake of being out there.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're here to compete. You'd hate it. You're standing around looking like a sad case. That's what my coach said. And then the medic also said, what if you're up a 20-foot rope, you're 20 feet in the air, and then your bicep goes. You then fall 20 feet in the air, probably hurt something else. You then have a surgery, most likely, if it tears like properly or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's a whole year. You know, that's like
you're missing the next games.
You're missing loads of stuff. You're then missing your progress that you could be making. You know, I wasn't thinking that way. I was thinking, I always want to get through the next thing. I was thinking 2 hours ahead of time. He was thinking the next 2 years. My coach also said, it's like, what's the point of, well, he said, I basically already said, what's the point of doing it if you can't go at full speed?
Yeah.
And if he also said, if you were old at the far side of your career, I'd say somehow get through it or like tell the doc, like, I'm going to just force your way in.
Yeah.
But like, you're at the start of your career. You're younger than most people here. So don't fuck yourself over, kind of thing.
And like, there's something in that though, I think, even for the general CrossFit population of, you know, as much as we say, push yourself through a workout, because that's a different kind of pain.
Oh yeah.
But people who come in and like, you know, are just like, oh, just train through an injury, it's fine.
Yeah.
And make it slightly worse. Like, you know, listen to your coach kind of thing and, you know, take a step back for a day or two and modify certain movements and do this and do that, because in the long term you're going to be healthier or better.
For sure. No one's too good to not listen to their coach, you know.
Like always. And whilst I'm sure that was disappointing, like surely that must have though, how has it made you feel now, like in hindsight, or how has it made you feel at the end of it, like, once you got over probably initial disappointment?
Yeah. It is obviously disappointing. So it's like, you look at the workouts, because I'd done that workout, a version of that one that was coming up in training, and I'd done like really good compared to like the guys I was training with and stuff. So it's like, that's a good workout for me. And then they announced the cleans and the running. I was like, that's another good workout for me. Shit, you know. So like, you think that way, but you can't let yourself, because then you're just living, you know, it's wasted energy. There's nothing. It's completely wasted energy.
Does it give you confidence though now going back, kind of to say, yeah, like I know we said it earlier, but I belong there, good enough to be there, good enough to be well up there.
Yeah.
And I now know what I need to do kind of for the next year or anything.
Absolutely. Like you just need to keep the head down, keep doing what you're doing, kind of thing. It the whole, even just qualifying said, okay, what you're doing is the right stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you're going about it the right way. Obviously there's like percents, like you can do better, you can always eat a bit better, you can always try and sleep more.
Yeah.
You're probably, no one in the whole world is doing enough mobility.
Yeah.
No matter what they say, you know, you can always do a bit more stretch and recovery. So it's just like building on what you've already done, and if you keep building, it's obviously like, it's a good confidence boost to know, okay, well, I've, even the way I'm doing it currently got me to where I am, but if I focus even more, having the games behind me, knowing I can do it, it should only progress.
What's your thoughts then and advice, say, for, say, I think we probably touched on enough, but like, say, one, just the general person coming in
Yeah.
And I know, like, because you coach as well. So what would be your kind of thoughts or advice? Just a general person coming in, don't care about competition, just like fit and healthy, right? One. Then two, to a young person, we'll say sub 18, getting into CrossFit, because you've been there since so long and maybe wanting to do just well on it. And then thirdly, just for that person who, because there's always going to be someone that thinks, I want to train full time. Like, what's the reality for them? Because a lot of people think it's more fun than it might be.
For sure. So what we start with?
Let's go general. Let's go 18 or below.
Yeah.
And then let's go with that person. It's like, I want to make it the regionals and games.
Yeah. So general people, my advice to like training is don't train completely aimlessly. Like, set a target, set a goal, a realistic one. Don't be like, I'm going to lose 40 kilos in a month or, you know, something crazy. A realistic goal, and then set smaller goals that match it. You can't say, oh, I want to do this next year, because tomorrow you're not going to be thinking about that again. You know, you need to be thinking, okay, by next week I need to have done X, you know. Or it's not even that. It's more like, I think it's more habit-based goals you need to get there. So it's like, I need to train this week 5 times or 3 times, or I'm only allowed to have like 1 takeout or whatever it is. Like, small things, like, add up.
Yeah. Like, so whether you have your long-term goal, maybe talk to your coach,
because
everybody has a coach in a CrossFit gym. That's a great thing. And say, right, how do you reach a short-term? Turn up 5 days a week.
Okay, yeah.
What's the habit? How does that happen?
Yeah. Stop eating awful.
Feel your training, or hydrate for training. And
stuff. Hydrate is huge. Like, you know, that kind of stuff. And the coach, obviously coaches are, you know, they want to help you. There's no coach that's there. It's like, oh, you know, they're like keen. That's, you know, a coach that doesn't want to help won't last, you know? So like, if the coach is there to like more than a bit of time, even if they're only there a bit of time, you might find that they're really keen to help.
Yeah.
You know, and they'll go out of their way.
That's the thing. Like, I would have all, when I coached here in Perpetua before, I know the guys currently here, is like, someone asks you what they can do, you'll be willing to give them the time. It's like,
absolutely,
after class as well, when we have more time, so we could talk about it quality rather than just 5 minutes
when the music's blaring and you're half on an assault bike, you know.
And what about then, say, so an 18-year-old looking to just get in, and whether they want, we don't know if they want to go to games or anything yet, but you know, young people getting into CrossFit, you know, instead of other sports, and it's weightlifting, it's everything, you know.
Yeah, for young people, I would say, get all of the skills, you know. It's all well and cool, you know, adding more weight to the bar. But if you're not, like, if your squat doesn't look good, there's no point, you know. If you're snatching and it's like you're trying to PB every time and you're not focusing on technical cues, you're not going to get very far. Yeah. If you want result, and also set it, the expectation is you're not going to be at the games or at your goal within a year.
Yeah.
It's an Olympic cycle minimum. Yeah, exactly. You need to set like a 5-year plan minimum.
Yeah.
And
like that, one, actually, it's like an Olympic cycle.
It is like an Olympic cycle. But there's one thing, like, you see, probably, I don't know, don't let like having a sweet six pack, you know, stop you from getting stronger. Because you see people are like, they're like less than 70 kilos, but they're like, oh, I just can't get strong. It's like, well, you're not eating enough, you know. You need to really eat.
Yeah, it takes a lot. You know, I remember I had to eat, like, I was trying to get stronger and gain weight before, because I did a lot of endurance sports, so it was never that big.
Yeah.
And like, getting to 80 kilos for me,
yeah,
I was eating 5,000 plus calories a day.
Yeah, you need
really
to.
Difficult.
It's its own training. You need to take like pre-workout to psych yourself up to ease.
Like, I love what you say about the skills, doing definitely for anybody that's young, but also for anybody just starting out. It's like what if you're going to be swimming? It's like what I said to you about swimming. It's like, don't worry about going fast.
Get
the technique. Because the more efficient that you get, the better you can then become. Because if you're just, say, slightly faster, stronger to start with no technique, you quickly reach a limit.
Yeah.
Whereas the technique always has something to build upon.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And you're not going to get very far without the skills or technical stuff, you know. Then, you could squat as much as you want, but if you can't translate that into a big clean or a big snatch or jerk, you know, it's worthless. Yeah.
And then finally, then what about the aspiring athlete that wants to just, you know, hit regionals in the games and, you know,
yeah,
let's give us a dose of reality. Like, you know, keep it as fun as you want, but you know, I know, like, training by yourself or with mates, it is fun, but it's also hard.
Yeah.
It's a lot of dedication.
I think the main thing is, like, find a coach or someone who's knows what they're talking about. You know, it's easy to say, oh, I saw this work on Instagram. Matt Fraser put it up, actually. Yeah. You know, just because Matt Fraser put up an Instagram workout doesn't mean it's going to get you straight to whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I was saying a while back, it was like, it's all structured so that you can train everything as much as possible without burning out on one thing.
Yeah.
You know, and only a guy who knows what they're doing or has programmed that way for someone in the past, pardon me, yeah, absolutely, you're dead right, can look at it that way.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to go, oh, I need to work on this, so I'm going to hammer this. But if you hammer too hard, your wrist is going to give out, or, you know, something's going to happen. You know, it's, you know, it needs to be structured correctly. The other thing is, oh yeah, I'll just start. If I had all, and it's a common thing. If I could train full time, I'd make it to the games, no problem.
Yeah.
It's horseshit. You know, it's the way I was saying earlier, it's that approach. It's how you approach. Also, it takes years of like volume tolerance to training to be able to train full time. If you jumped in and did like 3 sessions a day, you wouldn't be back for day 2.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, you got to build up that training age, as they say.
Yeah.
Not training age is, you know, how long you've been training, how many years on at that certain level, and then building that volume, obviously, gradually.
Absolutely. You can't just, you know, it's not just like, oh, if I didn't have a job, I'd train all the time and I'd be class. You know, it's
also like,
it's pretty ignorant to think that.
Training, it's really hard to train all the time, like, because you do have to, like, refocus every session. It is quite tiring mentally.
Oh, you have to pick yourself up a lot, you know, especially in the winter. Like, you cool down, you then have to warm up for another half an hour. Suddenly, by the time you did your 3-minute workout,
we have heating in Perpetua.
Oh, that's pretty good.
You're right, though.
We do not.
I remember, so like 2014 Perpetua, big warehouse. A lot of the current members won't know it, but you'd come in and you'd be like, I'd have my skins underneath my track.
Yeah, you look like you're going skiing.
Yeah,
yeah.
You'd have layers upon layers. You'd have your hat on, and then
gloves,
coach,
three hoodies.
Yeah, everything. You'd coach, and then you'd warm up for like your training later, and you'd go again. And for some reason, yeah, you've got all these layers on when you're warming up, and by the end of the workout, you're like, track pants, no top, but you're wearing a hat.
Yeah, something more random.
I saw my layers off and freezing, but yeah. It is very hard. And then you cool down, warm up, cool down.
For sure. And sometimes, like, it could be like a 4-minute workout, but you have to warm up for like 40 minutes.
Yeah.
You know?
And then, like, that's the thing, like, because you're under so much, like, stress on movements and stuff as well.
Yeah.
Like, you can't expose yourself to injury as much as anything.
You can't just hop straight to, like, say, the workout is like heavy overhead squats. You can't just jump in and start doing it. You really have to prep the body quite like a bit.
If someone was going for a 1K run, right? If you're just going, you could just go and you could go fast, but you would still hurt yourself. You hurt your hamstring, your hips, like, whatever.
Yeah.
If you were going to do it fast, you'd still warm up a little bit and annoy a little bit. But if you're trying to do something across it where you got to go hips, hamstrings, quads, shoulders, everything, whatever.
Yeah.
It's a lot to warm up in that time.
Yeah, especially in the winter.
So even training 3 times a day, whilst it might sound like small sessions, as you say, it's like 40-minute warm up each time.
Yeah, and you know, you look at someone's Instagram, it's like, oh, 3rd session of the day, blah, 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 this workout. What's not on Instagram is the 2-hour warm up and like boring foam rolling and stretching and and going, oh, do I really want to do this one, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, do I drop the weight down, you know? That self-talk as well, like, you know, everyone, even, you know, I'm not trying to sound, but the way I was talking earlier is like, I try and focus and you know, but everyone has their doubts, and like, you want to stop that day, it's too cold, oh, my hamstring hurts, or oh, my knee and hip, you know. I'm not just like this bulletproof cyborg, you know. You feel shit sometimes,
and everybody has it, but I think it's what's reassuring. But like,
you know, you can be like, oh, I've just got this mindset, I just pushed myself. But everybody has that struggle.
Yeah, it's absolutely.
Just trying to learn that everybody has that struggle to hopefully make people realize that so that they can.
And it's identifying your struggle while it's happening, going, okay, what do I really need to do here? Yeah. Am I going to get a benefit from doing a workout, or am I actually too sore? And yeah, like, will this injure me or something?
Yeah.
Or is it, okay, you need to get your shit together and do the workout because you're just procrastinating and stalling the ball, you know?
And that's a very good way to put it. Like, cause you know, there's days we've been tired at the end of work, but it's like, no, the thing that we need is a workout. Then there's days we're very tired and we're very tired. And it's like, actually shit, I do need one day off.
Yeah, absolutely.
Learning that. Learning the difference of my body sore because either A, I've done a lot of work and it's okay, it's normal to be a little sore for a couple of days and that'll be fine.
Yeah.
Or B, my body's sore because I haven't actually moved enough, versus C, then this is the injury.
Exactly.
But you gotta learn that.
Absolutely. It comes with just a bit of experience, and obviously coaches can guide you through again.
Yeah.
But it's, all I say, it's also important to note that, like, I take nearly 2 full days off every week.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like I'm go, go, go until, you know, there's burnout in all levels, you know, even if it's, you're just new and you jumped in too hard, too quick, or you've been doing it most of your life and it's now like kind of what you do all the time, you know?
So Sam, what's the goal for the rest of the year? What's the plan, or right up to next games or whatever?
Yeah, plan, obviously be in full health, doing pretty well now. I can do some ring rows again, which is pretty cool. Never underestimate ring rows or push-ups.
Ring rows before pull-ups.
Absolutely, they're killer. Hope to compete at the Filthy 150.
Cool.
Hope to maybe compete in Dubai if that's going ahead.
Yeah.
And then I think it's focused back in the open. Quarterfinals, semifinals. Semifinals probably the big one to focus for, and then if we can get back to the games, we're doing good. We're on the path.
Nice, like all going well with all of that. This year can be a train through the quarters, maybe not train through the semis, but be like slightly able to. All going well.
Hopefully, yeah. I'd hate to ever underestimate the semifinals.
Underestimate a semifinal.
No, I think you have
way too good a quality.
Yeah, you'd be ignorant to.
Yeah.
The level is too high.
Well, Sam, we look forward to watching the highlights on Instagram of the good stuff and not just the foam roll. And then
I'll be posting my foam rolling videos from now on if anyone wants to follow me.
Follow me on YouTube for 13 minutes of foam roll.
Live stream.
Sam, thanks very much. Thanks for coming into Perpetua. Thanks for keeping that link, and hopefully everybody will enjoy it, whether you're from inside Perpetua or outside. And good luck with the future.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Nice one.